Be'ezras Hashem, b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Moir, Rav David Tzvi Ben Harav Yosef, as well as for the safety of the hostages and the safety of our Chayalim defending Medina Yisrael. Today's daf is Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Beis. Four more daf in Ezeh Oneshech, and then it's smooth sailing for the rest of Bava Metzia. We left off at the words Tana Rabbanan, three lines down on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Today's daf is Ayin Beis. Good morning to Chana Chenach, to Michael Lawrence from Efrat, to Yitzchak Aryeh. Good Arab Shabbos to Michael Lawrence, to Yitzchak Aryeh, to David Yoshua, to Reuven from Harrisburg, to Chaim Tzvi. Special Friday morning to have Chaim Tzvi, to Yitzchak Isaac HaKoyen, to Avram David, to Tzvika, to Dr. Joe. What about Avram Chaim?
He's in Florida.
He's in Florida. Avram Chaim's in Florida. Okay, maybe we'll have him in Florida soon. Here we go. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Yisrael Shalava Mosman Anachri Beribis. A Jew borrows money from a guy with interest. Good morning, Avram Moshe Ben Yitzchak Meir Akon. Tana Rabbanan. Our rabbis taught in the Brisa. Good morning, Rabbi Eliezer Dov. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we got the whole crew. Oh, we're missing Shlomo David. All right. Shlomo David, we miss you. Tana Rabbanan. Yisrael Shalav Mosman Anochi Beribis. If a Jew borrows money from a guy with interest, V'zakvan Alav B'milva. And then they just say, listen, the guy lent him $1,000, and the deal was you got to pay him back $1,100. So they just said, let's change the whole $1,100 into one loan. They changed it into one loan, not like $1,000 of principal plus $100 of a loan. You owe me now. The time is up. You owe me now $1,100. V'zakvan Alav B'milva. After a certain amount of time, they just added the whole thing together and they made a separate document. You now owe me $1,100. Separate document. Vinizgaya. And then the guy converts. Converts to Judaism. Oh, so what's the din? So imkodim shenizgaya zakfan alav mimos. If they wrote the new document, making the whole 1100 into a separate document prior to the guy converting, okay. So then, govas akerim vagovas aribis. So then you can collect the whole 1100 in the document. V'im la'acher shenizgaya zakfan alav mimos. However, if the ribis was still ribis prior to the conversion, and now, after he converts, they change it into a document. So then, govas akeremin and govas aribis. At the time that he was a guy, at the time he converted to Judaism, so it was $1,000 of keren plus 100 of ribis. A Jew from another Jew is not allowed to collect ribis. Ah, you'll ask me, Akasha, or Eli was about to ask me, what about Gershon this guy or Kakutin Shinola dummy? Let's say he's like a new person. But apparently, no. Gershon is guy Kachatin Shinola Dami. Good morning, Shlomo David. Great to see you. Gershon is guy Kachatin Shinola Dami. That works as far as certain other Yisurim. Let's say certain relationships, those Yisurim. But in terms of money Yisurim, good morning, Avram Simcha Adler. That works in terms of other Yisurim. But in terms of money Yisurim, you're still considered to be a guy. Meaning you're still related to the guy. You're not going to say like, oh, you owed the guy money when you were a guy, now you convert to Judaism, you don't owe him money anymore. No, so if you changed it into a milva after he converted, so then you're only allowed to collect the original 1,000, you're not allowed to collect the interest because you became a Jew, and a Jew can't collect the interest from another Jew. And similarly, the opposite. V'chein nochri shalav amos miyisrael beribis. Let's say the guy borrowed money from the Jew. Not the guy lent. This case is the guy borrowed money from a Jew with interest. So it's going to be the same thing, but the opposite. Zakvan alav b'milva. And they changed the 1,000 plus 100 into a separate $1,100 debt. V'nizgayer. And then the guy converts. So im ad shalom nizgayer, zakvan alav b'milva. If they changed it into a loan prior to him converting, so then govas akeren v'gova es haribis. So you're allowed to collect the ribis. However, if you changed it into a loan after he converted, so meaning what, he converted, he was a Jew, and then afterwards he changed into a loan. So similarly, Govis HaKeren Vein and Govis HaRibis. That's Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the second halacha. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Omer, no. Nachmi Shalava Mos Misal Beribis. If a Jew borrowed money, if a guy borrowed money from a Jew with interest, Benkach u Benkach. Whether they changed it into a loan prior to the conversion or whether they changed it into a loan after the conversion, either way, Govis HaKeren VeGovis HaRibis. Even if he converted to Judaism prior to changing it into a loan, nevertheless, he's still allowed to collect. I'm sorry. Even if he converted after changing it into a loan, still. No. Even if he converted before he changed it into a loan. So you would think that he converted as a Jew, so he shouldn't be able to collect the ribbis. No! Rabbi Yossi says he's even allowed to collect the ribbis even if he converted prior to changing it into loan. Amar Rav Rav Chizam Ravuna, halacha ka Rabbi Yossi! Halacha is he can collect the ribbis even if he converted prior to changing it. Why? Amar Rav, my time with Rabbi Yossi. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi? Kidei shelo yomru b'shvil mosav niskayze. So people shouldn't say, "Oh, he only converted in order to be able, in order that he should not have to pay the ribbis." You'd think maybe he'll convert in order that he shouldn't have to pay the ribbis. Oh, now I'm a Jew. Sorry, you can't collect ribbis from me anymore. People are going to say his conversion wasn't sincere. It was just to get out of the money. So in order to preclude that issue, Rabbi Yossi says, even if he converts prior, the Jew can still collect the ribbis from him. So they shouldn't say that he converted to Judaism so that a Jew can't collect Jew from another Jew. No, he can collect it anyway.
That's strong.
Wow, it's that strong. Yeah, wow, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So they all point out, Joe, that's only because this is ribbis to Rabbanan. It's ribbis to Rabbanan. So actually, No. It was ribbis to Raisa. No, you're right. It was ribbis to Raisa. But he was a guy. He was a guy, so it was mutter. It was mutter. But now he converts to Judaism, so it was a deal that happened before. Okay, but it's a good question. Good question. Tanur Rabbanan, Shtah Shekasev Bo Ribbis. If there is a document that there's Ribbis, Konsinoso, Veinagova Lovas Hakem Velos Ribbis de Rav Meir. Wow. Okay, here's the deal. Reuven lends Shimon $1,000. And there's interest. They violated Nisa Daraisa. He owes him $1,100. He produces the document in Bezin. So you and I would have said, okay, he gets to collect the $1,000, but he can't collect the extra hundreds. And Nisa Daraisa, he can't collect it. No. Rameh says, we penalize you. Not only can't you collect the extra $100, but you're an idiot for charging interest. Even you lose out on the loan from the original $1,000. We rip up the whole document. The Chacham Omer, no. Chacham say, Govis HaKeren, Veinu govis haribis. You can collect the keren and not the ribis. Oh, see this long tosis? Don't worry, we're not going to read the whole thing. But look at the third wide line of the tosis in the bottom. V'tema damai ein ha'edim psulim kevin she'ovrim alos ha'simon apri she'en marvichim yesh lahem lifsol. Ask tosis, wait a second. The edim that signed this document are pasul edus. So shouldn't that, by definition, disqualify even the basic document? The Edom are Pasleidus. Why are they Pasleidus? Because they signed on a document when there was Ribbis. Tells us two answers. Skip eight lines. Look, seven lines before the end of the Tosis. V'yesh lomar, second to the last word on the line. Seven lines from the end. V'yesh lomar. Da'ayri hacha b'ribbis d'rabbanan. Okay, it's Ribbis d'rabbanan. V'lo mifsilu b'ribbis d'rabbanan kevin she'en marvichin klum. Since the Edom don't benefit anything out of it, and it's only Nisa D'Rabbanan, so they don't become Pasul. Even though Shabaver D'Oraisa Hayun of Son. Even though if it was Ribbis D'Oraisa, it would have been Pasul. Next answer, Inami. Afilu B'Ribbis D'Oraisa, Yesh L'Hachshir, D'Shem Alo Sissimun La'anshe B'milve Mashmal, B'malve Mashmalu V'lo B'Edom. U'L'Kach Shem, like we say later, like we said earlier, that hey, Lo'isach Mal D'Inshi B'lo Dami Mashmalu. People don't think that Edim become disqualified. I mean, the Edim don't get anything out of this. They're just edim. They don't get make anything. So why are you making them pasul edus? Okay, they took part in an avera. So people don't realize that when you testify on a ribbis case, that makes you pasul. Since people don't think it's an iser, mimeli you don't become pasul. You're not a rasha. You're not benefiting off somebody else's money. So therefore, since people don't really think the edus is such a big deal, it's a tremendous chiddush that the edim who sign on this thing are pasul edus. It's a chiddush. People don't realize it. So maybe you don't throw out the whole document. Let's continue. But my commitment back to the more. What's the root of the dispute between Rab Meir and Rabbi and Chachamim about whether or not you disqualify the entire loan or only the ribbis? Rab Meir Savar Kansinan Hetera Mishim Misura. Rab Meir says, in a case where you get involved in Isser, even the heter part we get rid of. But Chachamim said, Rab Meir Savar Kansinan Hetera Mishim Misura. No. You just get rid of the Yisr, but the Heter is still Heter. Oh, that's going to be the whole topic of today's daf. Under what circumstances do we get rid of Heter agreements if there's a little piece of Yisr in the agreement? Do you throw out the baby with the bathwater? That's going to be the whole topic of today's daf. So here we see a machlokas. Rav Meir says we get rid of Heter. Even when there's Yisr involved, we even get rid of the Heter part. And Chachamim say, no, just get rid of the Yisr, but you can leave the Heter. Tanan Hasam. Here's a similar case. Comes up at almost every wedding nowadays where the ksuba is signed before shkia. Oh, Dubsy, the caterers, they love this case. The ksuba is signed before shkia, but they get married after shkia. So what's going on? Well, maybe now it's actually a little better because shkia is like so late. But you know, what time is shkia nowadays? 8 o'clock around. Something like that. 10 to 8. So if the wedding is called for 6:30... and the chuppah is going to start at like 7:30. So the ksuba document was signed before, but it says they're going to get married, but they get married tomorrow. That's called a shtar muktam, a shtar that's dated early. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah earlier in Bava Metzia. Shtar chov muktamim. Let's say you have a shtar chov that's muktam, which means the date on the document is January 1st. But the loan actually happened February 1st. Now, if a loan happened February 1st, if they produce this document in Bezin, let's say he sold property between January and February, the document says the loan happened January 1st. It didn't really happen February, but the lien on the property, you're going to go over, if a guy sold the field between January and February, the creditor is going to go grab the field illegally. Shtar yichov ha-mukdamin psulin. So the shtar is puzzle. Because It's a lie. However, v'hamu'charin, but let's say the loan happened on January 1st, but the document says the loan didn't happen until February 1st. Well, that's not a problem. It's your fault. You're an idiot. You shouldn't have written a month later. So v'hamu'charin k'sherin, it's not a problem because when you produce the document in court, it's only going to produce a lien starting a month later. Mukdamin amay psulin. Now, ask the Gemara, why is a shtar muktam pasul? Nihidalo gavam mizman rishon, granted on a shtar muktam, you're not allowed to collect from the January 1st, but you should at least be able to use the document to collect from February 1st. Nehid v'lo gavim mizman rishon, nigvim mizman sheni. Answer the Gemara. Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, v'machlokish nuya, v'Rabbi Meiri. It's the same machlokas. Rabbi Meir says, once the shtar can't be used to collect from January to February, we throw it out even from February and on. We penalize the heter atu the iser. But enechanami, according to Chachamim, the document just can't be used from January to February. But post-February, the document can be used. From Yochanan, no, it's not the same thing. Afil temer rabbanan. Even the rabbanan say who say we don't penalize the $1,000 of Karen because of the $100 of interest. This case is worse because how are you going to control this? How are you going to control it? Guy's going to go to another Bezdin. He'll go to another Bezdin that doesn't know the details. All Bezdin sees is a document that says January 1st. They're going to collect with this from January 1st. Now the Gemara tells a story about this. Hahu garva demashkin lepardesa lechaver. Reuven lent Shimon $1,000, and Shimon gave Reuven his vineyard to eat the grapes off the field to pay back the $1,000 loan gradually over time. you'll pay back the loan from eating the grapes. And 3 years he was eating the grapes. Still didn't finish. Achla plus shani. Okay, so he ate from the grapes for 3 years, from the vineyard. After 3 years, Amale, so Shimon loved this vine. He loved this vineyard. And he says, I want to buy it from him. So he comes up with a trick in order to force the seller, who was also the borrower, to force the seller of the vine to sell him the vineyard. What's the trick? Amalei, if you sell me this vineyard, mutav, good. V'ilo, if you refuse to sell it to me permanently, he's going to pay for it. But if you refuse to sell it permanently, kavishlo l'shtar mashkata, I'm going to rip up the document that has the mashkon, that says it's a mashkon, v'amino l'kuchi b'yodin, and I'm going to claim that you sold it to me already for free. Because I've been living on it for 3 years. I've been living on it for years. Now we know, we're going to learn in Bava Basra, that once you live on a property for 3 years, hey, we got Bava Basra coming up soon in June! No, June, July, when is it, August? I think it's in June. Yeah, 30 more daft of Bava Metzia. We're making a sea of Bava Metzia. It's coming up in June. It's going to be in New Jersey, Bli Nether. We owe the Jersey guys. Bli Nether, we're going to make a sea in New Jersey. June, road trip. No. Speaking, you're in for a road trip? Okay, we've been promising them for a few mesechtes. We got to go to Jersey. Better leave now. Better leave now. It's Erev Shabbos. You don't want to go to Jersey on Erev Shabbos, that's for sure. Kavishle, v'amino kubiyadi, 3 years. We're going to learn Baba Basra. Once you live on a land for 3 years, you can claim you own it, and you'd be believed. As a matter of fact, the Acharonim point out over here that whenever the Shita Mekubetzet says, because every person who gives land to his friend as a mashkon, he's got to protest every year in front of Bez and say, by the way, this is not his field, it's just a mashkon. Because here the guy's getting messed over because he didn't protest. Says the Gemara, so what did this guy do? He said, oh, you want to trick me into that? So this guy one-upped him. What did he do? Azal, kam akne lebno katan. So the seller, who's the borrower, he pulled the following shtick. He gave the field as a gift to his son, who was a katan, in front of Edom. He was zoicha on behalf of the katan. B'hadda zavna nilei. And then he went ahead and fakely sold it to the other guy when it wasn't even his anymore. It wasn't his to sell. He gave it to his kid. It was a fake out, and he had Edom that proved that it wasn't a good sale. And here it is. He got the money from the guy. He got the money from the guy, and he sold it, but he's going to get the field back. Because he's going to go to bed and say, ah, psych, I got my money back, and it's a field. Now the question is, but wait a minute, but he sold him this thing, but it was a fake. Now we've had cases like that earlier. In Bava Kamma we had, let's say you sell a guy a stolen field. So do you now have to make good on the fact, you told him you were selling him a field and you lied to him. You lied to him. So do you have to now pay him back the money? Oh, says the Gemara. Zvine vade lo have zvine. So the sale is clearly not a good sale because he sold him something that wasn't his. It belonged to his kid. So the sale is not a good sale. But however, zuze, what about the money? Is that kimilva bishtar damo? Is that considered like a milva bishtar and he can collect it from the guy? He's got to give back the field. But does he get his money back? Is that like a milva bishtar damo? The government of Shibadim, and you can collect with the document of sale. Oh, so that's the question. Is this document of sale, which was a lie, but can he use the document for a permitted purpose? Because the guy fakely sold him something. He paid him money for something that he wasn't really getting. So when he gets his money back, is that like a milva b'shtar and he could collect even from a nechasim shibadim? Well, dimma kimilva apedam. No. It's like an oral loan because the whole document is a piece of nothing. It's zero. The document was a fake ad. It wasn't a real document. Oh, Amar Abaye. So let's remember the names here. Says Abaye. Balav Hainu Rabbi Asi. Isn't this the same din of Rav Asi that you and I all learned together? We got 15 people listening right now. 15 people listening right now. Amrabai, v'lav hainu de Rav Asi. Isn't this the same thing that all 15 of us learned together? The din of Rav Asi. Amar Rav Asi, because Rav Asi told us, well, no, I'm sorry. This is not yet the thing we learned together. Two more lines, that's the thing we learned together. This is Din of Rav Aser, which we also learned together, but we learned together a more long time ago. Mo de b'shtar shekasko, eino tzarech lekaimo. The halach is, let's say you have a document which did not have kiyum shtaros. The Edom did not fortify their signatures with the kiyum shtaros. But the Lova admits, I wrote the document. So then he's no longer believed to say it's a forgery. Once he admits that he wrote it, even if the Edom didn't do kiyum shtaros, so ein tzarech lekaimo, the malve, if the Lova admits that he wrote it, the Malva does not have to be Mekayimit. V'gova minuchasim shubadim. And it's a legit document, even though it did not have Kiyum Shtaros. So Abaye thinks this is the same thing over here. Even though this document was a piece of garbage, it was meaningless, but the Lova admitted that he wrote it. So the guy admitted that he sold him. If he admitted that he sold him the document, then he says, oh, psych! I really sold it. I sold the property to my kids. But the document, he admitted that he wrote it. So should we say the same thing? Since the Lova admitted that he has to give back the money. He's not believed to say that he didn't get the money. So the shtar should be kayam as far as achrayis. It should be like a milva b'shtar. It should collect the imchem shubadim. Says Rav Abaye, how could you compare the case of where a Lova admitted to a real loan that really happened to a case of where a guy admitted to a sale that actually never happened? Said Amalei Rava, me dummy. How could you compare a legit loan where everything was on the up and up to a false document about a sale that did not really happen? Amalei Rava, me dummy. How can you compare these two cases? Hasam nitamli kasev. This document was supposed to be written because a loan really happened and it was a kosher document. Haha, lo nitamli kasev. This document should never have been written in the first place because the sale was a sham. The sale never really happened. So the document was completely false. And therefore, such a document is not like a milva b'shtar. Yafim Mereimer Mekabel HaShmaitim. Mereimer was sitting and he was teaching over this chiddush of Rava that a document that's a false document is meaningless. It's meaningless. Amalei Ravina Lemareimar. So Ravina said to Mareimar, really? But wait a second. All 15 of us together learned a halacha where a guy steals a field and then he sells the field to somebody else. And then he goes and buys the field from the guy he stole it from. We had this case. We had it. Again, Shimon steals a field from Ruvain and then sells it to Levi. And then Shimon feels badly that he sold the stolen field because Reuven's going to come and take the stolen field away from the guy he sold it from. So Shimon, he doesn't want to be known as a robber or he doesn't want to be known as an untrustworthy guy. So he goes and then goes over to Reuven and says, you know what, I stole this field from you. I'll now buy it from you. So we learned this. This is mamish very similar to this case of where a guy sold a field to somebody else which wasn't really his. It was his kids. Amalei. So hold on. Oh, Chanachanach, get ready. We got a major Hachi Hashna coming up. Yosef Mereim Avakom Alash Maita. I was thinking of you when I was preparing. Yosef Mereim Avakom Alash Maita. Amalei Vin Lemeimar. Elohadom Rab Yoichanan. What about this thing of Rab Yoichanan? Oh, again I jumped the gun. I'm telling you, I don't know what's going on with me today. Wait a minute. Before we're going to get to that case in a second. It's the next line. Elohadam Rabbi Yochanan, the thing that we just said 15 minutes ago. We don't have to go back to 6 months ago. Just 15 minutes ago. Elohadam Rabbi Yochanan, Gzeira Shem Yigma Mizman Rishon. Rabbi Yochanan said, you're not allowed to use Ashtar Muktam. Why? Ashtar Muktam is Pasol. Even the Chachamim would agree. We say by Ribbis, we don't Kones the Karen Atu the Ribbis. They say, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree, Elohadam Rabbi Yochanan, it's not the same thing. Even the Chachamim would agree that Ashtar Muktam is Pasol. Gzeira Shem Yigva Mizman Rishon, because we're afraid that maybe the guy will come to collect from the first time. Neima Lo Nitan Li Kasev. So Rabbi Yochanan should say, wait a second, according to what we're saying over here, that a document that should never have been written because it was a lie. So too over there, Shtar Mukdam should be pasul. It should be pasul because Loni Tinli Kasev. You're not allowed to write a Shtar Mukdam. So it's like it wasn't written, and therefore it shouldn't collect. Since Rabbi Yochanan didn't say this reason, he said a different reason. He said, Gzeir Shem Yigvim Mizman Rishon. Let him say a different reason. Our Malay Maramer said back to Ravina, Hachi Hashta, this is a faulty comparison. How could you compare a case of a guy who writes a shtar muktam to a guy who writes a shtar on a sale that was not a sale at all? Hachi Hashta, this is a faulty comparison. Hasam, by a shtar muktam, Nihita Linton the Kazim Mizman Rishon, granted that this document had the wrong date on it, but there was actually a loan. Okay, they wrote the wrong date, but there was a real loan. But from the second Zman, you could have written a document from the second Zman. But this loan was not a loan at all. So you can't compare. And now finally, we come to the case that I keep on telling you about. Elohad Asanya, ask the Gemara, wait a second. The Gemara is going to ask a question against Rava. Rava is the one who said that in a case where the document is not meant to be written at all, like in this fake sale, so the document is meaningless. Ask the Gemara, really? The document is meaningless? Elohad, Datani, what about this that we had a brisa on a mishnah that we learned in Gittin, Memchesim, and Beis? L'shvach karkos keitzad, we have a brisa that says as follows. Here we have. Shimon steals a field from Reuven. I told you it was coming. You guys didn't trust me. Shimon stole the field from Reuven. He sold it to Levi. So he sold a field that was not his. He stole a field from Reuven and he sold it to Levi. Hishpicha. And Levi put a lot of money into the field. He put a lot of money into it. And now Reuven was the nigzal. He says, sorry, buddy. It's not your field. And now Reuven comes to take his field back from Levi, and Levi comes to collect the money from Shimon, who sold it to him fakely. It wasn't his field. However, so the original amount of the field he collects from even mortgage properties of Shimon. But the Shevach, right, the buyers that have no way of knowing how much the Shevach was, that he can only collect from B'nai Chorin. So we say, he's Chai Bachrayas. But according to Rav, a name alone, he tells the how can you collect the Karen from Nechasim Mishubadim? Hello, this whole document was a sham. And didn't you, Rav, say that any document that's a sham is meaningless? So how can you even collect the Karen from Nechasim Mishubadim? With this document. Document was a meaningless. Answers the Gemara, wait a second. Hachi hashta. Another faulty comparison. You can't compare selling a stolen field to selling a field that doesn't belong to you. Because earlier on Daf Tesvav Amud Beis, we said that a person who steals a field and sells it to somebody else, and then he purchased it. So he can't collect the field from the buyer. Because we say the only reason he purchased it was he doesn't want to be called a Goslin. He doesn't want to be called a Goslin. Or he wants to be known as a trustworthy person. Two different answers. What's the nafkamina between the two answers? Let's say he didn't sell it to Levi. Let's say he gave it to Levi as a gift and then purchased it. So if you say it's because he doesn't want to be called a Goslin, he's not a Goslin. He gave it to him as a gift. He can come take it back. But if you say he wants to be known as a trustworthy person, even if he gives it as a gift, he doesn't get it back. Because he's still not a trustworthy person. He gave the guy a gift and now he finds out it was stolen. Says Gemara, Hachi Hashta. You can't compare the case of a stolen field to a field that wasn't yours. Hasam, buy a case of where you sell a stolen field. Ilamando Amar Nichale Dolonikre Gazlan. According to the opinion, says the reason why the guy would want to buy it back is because he doesn't want to be called the Gazan. or even according to the person, he just wants to be known as a trustworthy person. Mifayis le'lomar, you mokim lo l'shtar. The reason he buys it is because he buys it because he wants to make the shtar into a legitimate shtar, to make it a good sale. But hacha, lavruchim edeka mechavin, the whole point of this document was just to get this guy off his back. The guy was threatening him. Shtara mekayim le. So he wants this document to be legit. In the case of where a guy buys the field from the guy who he stole it from, he wants to make this document, he wants to make good on his promise. He wants to make the document into a good document. Now that I bought the field, so now it's really mine, retroactively, so he wants to be mekayim it. So he can't go grab it away from the buyer. But over here, it's clear the whole reason he made this document was just to get the field back, just to have the upper hand now on the field. So therefore, the document is worthless, and therefore, he cannot collect it. It's only a milva al peh. It's not a milva bishtar. Let's continue. Second half of today's daf. Ein poskin al haperos. Ad sheyetze hashar. Yotze hashar poskin. Apishen lezeh yesh lezeh. So this is talking about halacha that we've learned already. If I want to buy fruit, but you're not going to give me the fruit today. You're going to give me the fruit in 1 year. I pay you today for the fruit in a year. So if you currently have fruit, you're just not giving it to me. You'll give it to me in a year. That works. Even if the price of fruit goes up, it looks like ribbis. But it's like you bought the fruit now. You had fruit. If you don't have fruit, if the permanent price of fruit is gone out in the country, the permanent price is out in the country. In those days, didn't change every day, but it would be set for a set amount of time. So if the price went out, then it also works. Why? Because even though the guy doesn't have fruit, it's very easy with the money to go buy it. The price is out. If you decide not to buy it till later, that's your problem. But the fruit is available. So one of two things. Either yeshlo, the guy has fruit, it works. Or even if ainlo, but if the price has been set, the permanent price has been set, then it works. Because the buyer, the guy, again, what's the case over here? Right. The guy pays up front, so the seller could have easily gotten fruit because there's plenty of stuff around, and therefore the sale works from today. Even if I pay you in a year, if the price of the fruit has gone up dramatically, it's not ribbis. It's not a problem. Because it's like you owned it all along. Ain't poskin ala peros, ad sheyetze ashar. If the price came out, then everybody's good. Meaning, if you don't have. Yotza ashar, poskin, afabish ein lezeh, yesh lezeh. Once the shar came out, then you could set up a deal. So one of two things. Either the guy has fruit or shar. Hayahu tchil la kotzrim. Let's say this guy is the earliest guy. He's the guy who's harvesting first his fields. Posekimo, he's allowed to make this deal, even though the stuff is still ala gadish, even though the stuff is still attached to the ground. And by the time it gets produced, the price is going to go up. But that's called that he has it. Ala gadish, ala avet shel anavim, even if he just has a pot full of, a basket filled with grapes, they're not even fully ripened yet. Or by olives that are not fully ripened yet, even though it's going to be worth a lot more money later on, you're allowed to sell it for cheap. Unmade pots, like they used to have like a clump of dirt that would be made into a pot. Clay, the pot, the clay of the pottery before it became a pot. A pot, it's just placed in the oven before it's fully heated up and refined as a pot, an earthenware vessel, all these things. You're allowed to sell them for cheap, even though by the time the guy gets them, it's going to be more expensive. Because what's the difference? It's like he purchased it for cheap, and it got more expensive in his rishus, even though the guy didn't make it yet. I already own it from now. At the cheap price, even though it's going to be worth a lot, but it's like I bought it cheap because now you're going to make it and finish it and it'll be worth more later. That's not ribbis. It's considered to be in the world. It's considered to be yeshlo. Since he has it, So it's like I purchased it at the cheap price for the cheap thing, and now I own it. It's as if I already own it, and you're going to just finish it off and pay it to me. It's worth it. I already own it at the cheap price, so now when it becomes more expensive, I just got something that just appreciated in value. And similarly, posting Gemara la zevel kol yemos hashana. You're allowed to always buy fertilizer, even if you don't provide it right away, because fertilizer is something that everybody has all the time. You don't have to wait till any price comes out. Everybody has it all the time. You could always purchase it, even if the price didn't come out. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, he disagrees. Ain posting al zevel elim kein haiselo zevel ba'ashba. Unless he has fertilizer right now on hand, you can't buy the fertilizer. V'chacham matirin. Chacham says mutter. The Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference between opinion number three and opinion number one here? Opinion number one said, you're allowed to do it. Rabbi Yossi said, you're not allowed to do it. The Chacham said, you are allowed to do it. What's the difference between Chacham number three and number one? And in all the cases that we said you're allowed to do this, uposikimo bishar ha-gavoa, you're allowed to use the high price. Now, the high price actually here means the low price. Why is it called the high price, the low price? So the high price here means that if the price goes down to, let's say we paskin right now that I'm paying you $100 for 100 bushels. And tell it, $10 for 100 bushels. Now, we know that, and you have bushels on hand. You have them on hand, right? But you have them, but you're not going to give them to me for another month. In a month, the price goes up to $20 a bushel. You give me the same $20 for 100 bushels. So you give me the same 100 bushels. So we said that's mutter even if the price goes up because you had it at the time. It's like you owned it from a month ago. But let's say the price goes down to, instead of 100 bushels for $10, now it's 1,000 bushels for $10. So the price went down. So now the other guy is going to be upset. Oh, you lost a lot of money. The halacha is, you owe him now 1,000 bushels at the later price. You owe him 1,000 bushels. So, posik yiro kishara gavoa. If the price goes down, you have to give him 1,000. You can make a deal. Because basically, the deal at the beginning of the deal is, if the price goes up, the deal is the same. But if the price goes down, now I give you $10, I'm going to expect 1,000 bushels now. Because it's like the deal never happened. It's like we never had a deal. Now the price is 1,000 bushels. We can make a deal, 1,000. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda, even if you did not make that stipulation that if the price goes down, you're going to get 1,000 instead of 100. Yochel Omar, the buyer could say, listen, tainly kazeh, you better give me 1,000. O tainly es ma'osai. Or I'm just backing you out of the deal. Just give me back my money. Because just giving money doesn't mean anything. You didn't get anything. So the deal wasn't set, so I could just back out of the deal. I'll get a Misha Para. No, you don't get a Misha Para if you have a legit reason for backing out. And there's no better legit reason to back out if the price went down so much. You really deserve to get a lot more for your money now. The price is now much lower. So you can, Rabbi Huda holds, you can back out even without making this stipulation that, oh, if the price goes down, I'm going to ask you for more wheat. I'm going to ask you for more. Oh, says the Gemara. Amar Vasim Rabbi Yochanan ain poskin al sharp she b'shuk. Rabbi Yochanan said, you cannot make a deal on the shar in the local marketplace. If the price was just set in the local marketplace, that's not good enough because that can fluctuate by tomorrow. By the time you get to bring the fruit, that's not considered to be a permanent enough price. Amar Rabbi Zeilu Rabasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, afilu kidurmus hazeh. Even this massive marketplace, which was a much permanent more price, which would last for a long period of time? Amalei, no. Lo, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, b'shuk shel ayaros. Delo kvi tarai. When Rabbi Yochanan said you can't set a price based on the local market, he meant the market in the local town, which changes. It's not considered to be stable. It changes every moment. It changes every few hours. Delo kvi tarai. The price is not set. But in a big city, with a huge marketplace, it's not going to change. The price was set. It was a permanent price. It says the one. Now, what was the Havamina? Ulamai desal gadaitin. Oh, we're late. Ulamai desal gadaitin meikara. This one we thought originally of Rabbi Yochanan. Afilu kedur mesazeh. Even in a large market, you're not allowed to set. Elamasiz l'gadaitin. He imposed on Paris. So what was the mission talking about? That when the price came out, it was good.
Yotzei Shah Poskin, Heichem Mishkachas, what was the case? Says the Gemara, no, the Havamina was, Masisim Bechite Da'ach Leveva Arbe. No, the wheat from these massive storehouses are on the boats, when the massive boats would bring in their produce. The Mashach Tarat Tfei, that price would last a very long time. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Poskin HaBeis HaYetzei Shah, you're not allowed to make this deal until the price comes out. Yotzei Shah Poskin, Apishe Ein Lazeh, Yesh Lazeh. Because even if one seller doesn't have, the other seller has. Hayu Chadashos, Me Arba Yishanos Mishalosh, if the new moist wheat would be 4 sa'a per sella, but the old higher priced wheat, better wheat, the yishanos, mishalosh sa'in besella, ain poskin, you can't poskin on the new ones to pay when they dry out, because that's mamish a different price already right now. It's got to be that the same price would be for the new ones and the old ones. Hayu lakutos me arba. If the poor people who had inferior quality was 4 sa'a sella, Ulchala, the regular people, Mishalosh, was 3 sa'a per sella, ain poskin, you can't make a deal with a rich guy, Achi Yitzhak Shah, Laloki Ulamocher, on the price of the poor guy stuff until the price was equal for the rich guy and the poor guy. On Rav Nachman, poskin Lalokutos, Kishara Halakutos, but you can make a deal with a poor guy for the price of the poor guy. Says, wait a second, but if he has, I'm going to rub the Rav Nachman. Maishna locate. Why are you allowed to do this with a poor guy? Because if he doesn't have, he can always borrow wheat from his friend, the other poor guy. Balabai's not Yazim Milokut. Can't the Balabai's borrow from the poor guy? Well, it's the obvious answer. Amalei, no. Balabai's Zila Be Misl Mezim Milokut. A rich guy is not going to borrow wheat from the poor guy because his stuff was a lower quality stuff. If you give the money to the old guy, he didn't know. The first shot was it's embarrassing for him to borrow the poor guy. The second shot is, no, his stuff was of inferior quality, so no one's going to take from him. You're allowed to buy when the price came out, but you're not allowed to lend based on Shah Shabashuk. If it's a purchase, you could do it. But if it's a loan, you're giving the guy money and saying it's a loan and you'll pay me back with produce at a later time. If it's a loan, you can't do that. That smells like interest. I'm the Lord of Yisrael, I'm the Lord of Sheshes. Well, me and Rav Huna did. Rav Huna really saying not allowed to lend on Shah Shabashuk? Above me named Rav Huna, they asked the question, Hani b'nei Bei Rav. Yeshiva Bacham. The Yazve b'tishri. They borrow money in Tishri. Upare b'teves. And they pay back fruit based on the price of Tishrei 4 months later. But they borrowed money. Shari Yawasif, Amelu. He said it's mutter. Achiti Mini Achiti Mishile. There's plenty of wheat in the neighboring villages of Hini Mishile. Vibai. They could go buy fruit with this money right away. Zavne, who paralyzed. So even if it was a loan that they're paying back in wheat, you see it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Meikara Sabrav Huna. Ein Lovin, you're right, Rav Huna changed his mind. Originally, Rav Huna thought that you're not allowed to borrow. Came in the Shamele Hadam Rabbi Shmuel Barchi Amar Rabbi Lozer. Lovin, that you're allowed to. Amar Yunami Lovin, he agreed and said, you can. Rabbi said, we will stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day. 3 more days of Eze Uneshech. Countdown to the end of Eze Uneshech.